Hi, this is Pastor John. I'm so glad that you could receive this CD. You know what? We hear so much about giving money and how to give it, and, you know, how to use our right kind of stewardship and giving. And I just went back in the archives, and, you know, I have so much fun doing that, especially for you believers out there that really want to know what benevolent giving is all about. I preached a sermon, and it's kind of long, it's long-winded and all that, but what I want to do is I want to break it down in sections for you and kind of come in and discuss from time to time what I'm talking about, all right? Yeah, this is a real nice message, and I think that you'll really appreciate it as you listen to the words. I want to get right into the message. I want you to listen, and then I'll come back before I get into the second section, and I'll explain why I'm saying what I'm saying. So that you hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Okay, we'll handle it that way. Pastor John Coleman into the Word Ministries, which is the biblical alternative.
So this message is not being preached to try to get you to give money. That is not what we are here for. But the subject is handling with care. How do we handle the situation of almsgiving with care? How do we give? What is the attitude in which we give? I think that the Bible is perfectly clear. As an introduction, I would like to read something that I was reading in my reading this week from one who I believe really understands what the tension of the Christian life is. This is the way he puts it as we begin with an introduction of handling with care. He says that it is a familiar truth that every Christian life's purpose must be to glorify God. My life's purpose, your life's purpose, is to glorify God. This is a believer's official calling. Everything we say and do, all of our obedience to God's commands, all of our relationships with others, all of the use that we make of our gifts and our talents and our opportunity that God gives us, all of our enduring of the adverse situations and human hostility must be so managed as to give God honor and praise for His goodness to those whom He sets His love. Now that's an awful lot, and you may say, what does that mean, Pastor John? Let me give it to you in a nutshell. Everything that you do in your Christian experience is to bring glory to God as you offer your life as a testimony to the glory of God. Now, follow along with me in some scriptures. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, first of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. I'm going to read these scriptures very quickly to you because we don't want to spend all morning doing this. But 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God's word says that everything that we do, we are doing it to bring glory to God Almighty. Now I want you to flip to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. There's a lot of scriptures that I want to share. I'll read them very quick. Matthew 5, 16 reads like this. For it says, in those... Let me make sure that I have the right one. Yes. Let me get to Matthew 5:16. I was in Mark. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And what are they going to do when they see your good works? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Everything that you do in your lives is to bring glory to God. You're not to do anything to bring glory to you. You're not to do anything to bring glory to the pastor, glory to the ministry. It is to bring glory to God Almighty. Now flip to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. As we continue to look at issues in our family life, God wants to be glorified in what we do. For it tells me in Ephesians 3:10, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, to rulers and authorities and in heavenly places. In other words, The whole purpose is that God might be made known, that God might be glorified. And then, of course, the last scripture that I want to use in this part is Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which reads like this. It says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Everything you do is to bring glory to God. Every time you come to church, every Bible lesson you teach, every time you pray, everything that you do for other folk is to bring glory to God. We are in the midst of an upcoming holiday season. And we've already, I think Olivet has done a tremendous job in what we did just a few days ago in handing out 61 turkey baskets to food and all of that, you know, to the folk in the community, to a lot of families that did not have turkey dinners. That's all great. But we didn't do that for a name. We didn't do that for the leader of the auxiliary. All of that took place for the glorification of God Almighty. One writer has also said that equally important is the truth that every Christian's full-time employment must be to please God. That is what your personal calling is. You are a Christian to please him, to bring honor to his name. And if you are not bringing glory to him by pleasing him, you are failing. Look at John chapter 8, verse 29, if you will. I'll let you get to that one. John chapter 8, verse 29. I want you to see what Jesus says about the issue. I think it's important to know that we have a relationship with our Lord. John chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus' words, he says, "He who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone." And then he says, "For I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Jesus gives us the pattern or the example. Everything that he did was pleasing to his Father in heaven. How about you and I? Who are we trying to please in our lives? You husbands, are you trying to please your wives? You wives, are you trying to please your husband? Are you trying to please your employer? Are you trying to please the pastor? Or are you trying to please God Almighty? We have to look at that. And so therefore it brings us to another scripture that I think goes along with that, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And as I look at that particular verse, it reads like this. And I just love all these scriptures, because as I look at the scriptures, what it does is it communicates to me that God wants me to please him. Therefore, also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Your ambition as a believer is to please God. Here's the first question of the morning. Was he pleased, saint, with you during this past holiday? Was he pleased with the way you conducted your life? Was he pleased with how you shared what God has given you? Was he pleased with your attitude about the things that he gave you? That's a very important question. So, what better way to express our hearts than by our expressions of Christian benevolence? That's what we will be getting into as we focus again on our key scripture, Acts chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 2a, and that should really mean 2c. It says, "And he," that is Cornelius, "gave many alms to the Jewish people." By way of review, let me share with you a little bit about the culture. The culture was in turmoil. There was a few at the top that had a lot, and there was a lot on the bottom that had nothing. This culture was primarily an agricultural culture. When people got money, they usually got it through working farmland. When people inherited money, they inherited from folk in their families that had a lot, and acts of alms was very common in the Jewish culture. In other words, if you really wanted to help someone, what you would find yourself doing is giving to the other person's necessity or need. Now, this was something that was not easily done, because the folks that had it, in order to stay in the status, they had to keep what they had and not be too concerned about the man that didn't have. Now, in the American culture, we're like that too. You know, we live in what we call classism. In other words, if you're in a financial class, You can't give away all your money because then you will be in the lower class, not the middle class. We kind of view ourselves as a middle class church. Well, there are some churches that are not middle class churches. As a matter of fact, in this society, you folks sitting in this room, the way you dress and the food that's in my stomach, we are upper middle class. Because I don't think that any of us are just eating cornflakes every day, amen? We eat basically whatever we want to eat. And so you're kind of like in upper middle class here. You're not necessarily in that lower class spectrum here. So God has blessed us with much in our society. Now, here's where the tension comes in. The issue that we have to be faced with in our family lives is what are we going to do with the much that God has given us? That's the tension of this message today. And that's what I want you to understand. There's, I think, some things that we need to note about Cornelius. Here was a man that was singled out by God for blessings from God. And those blessings from God will transfer themselves in charitableness towards others. God calls this man, and now this man becomes a charitable giver. When God gets in the man's heart, the man all of a sudden takes the focus off of himself and starts to look at others that need. Usually when we come to Christ, we see Jesus, Brother Carlos, as this cosmic killjoy that's going to give us a lot of stuff, and we aren't too concerned about the other. And then we'll do alms of mercy for people maybe during Thanksgiving or Christmas. For the rest of the year, we're cut off. We cut them off. And so Cornelius was a unique individual. Secondly, here we see a man that was moved beyond the ritual to the actual. You see, a lot of us come to church and we go through our ritualistic giving. How many churches do you need? I got two. I'm going to give two. Do I hear three? Do I hear three? Do I hear four? Can I get a four? Can I get a five? Can I get a six? Can I get a seven? Got 15? Do I hear 16? I see 20 over here, 25 over here. 25, 35, 45, 55, 56. So, we've done our deeds. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You've done that to secure something within you, but almsgiving the way that Cornelius did was a life of almsgiving. As a matter of fact, the intention of the text is that he gave to the Jewish community before he got saved. He gave to the Jewish community whenever he saw that there was a need to be met. Usually what we do is we wait for somebody to have a need in order to respond to that need, and what God wants us to do is to meet that need before the issue even comes up. We also see that here's a man that God received and honored by listening to his prayers as well as accepting his alms as well as giving him the spirit to do more after he converted him. In other words, Cornelius got on his face before God and said, how can I help in a society that has many people that need help? There are some people in Christian churches that believe that all of the money that come into the church is just for the church. Well, primarily, it is for the business of the church to do the right kind of stewardship of the money that come in. But in the society that we live in, God will always put in the front of the church people in the church, listen closely, as well as outside of the church that has a need. And we're going to give you scriptures and we're going to tell you how you can become the Cornelius in the 1990s in your life. Oh, my friends, that believers would seek to give as this early believer gave to the poor. Oh, that we might become the kind of believer that God could touch our hearts and have us to freely give without asking anything back. Oh, that we will never have to wait on a holiday to provide a meal for someone because it makes us feel like we're doing God's service. Oh, that we would understand, brothers and sisters, that there are people that are constantly in need of food and clothing, and when we give that, we are ministering the way that Jesus told us to do.
Boy, I'm telling you, that's some powerful preaching, isn't it? Oh, that we would know these things. So, in the first part of the sermon, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to talk about our overt responsibility. And as we get into the second part of this, you're going to see where that responsibility leads you. Now, I want you to listen very closely, and that's why I'm breaking in and I'm giving you, I want you to listen to it in sections. And as we continue to listen in sections, we'll be able to digest it a little bit more easier. Now, if you have any questions, as to what this means, you can contact me right here in the Lucy Coleman studio. Since you've received this CD, on the CD will be my email address or the telephone number. And you can do that by going to my website, www.johnecoleman, that's johnecoleman.org. I'm a pastor. I'm going to answer the question for you. I'm just going to give it to you just like this. If you need more copies of this sermon to pass on to your friends on benevolent giving, contact me. And if I got some free ones here, I'll just send them your way. That's what it's all about. Now let's get ready to get into part two. Aren't you excited? I am. Say the word.